You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I first and foremost want to say I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Before I kick into anything sports related, man, just wanted to say I hope everybody had a great week. I hope everybody is excited as I am about this weather transition that we're getting ready to have, man. No longer having those scorching hot days in 100 plus degree weather, but now getting ready to get into that fall season, which is one of the best seasons for weather. I'm excited. I hope you are too. And look, on top of that, man, it's football season, man. I'm ecstatic about that. And I know y'all are too. I've been glued to my TV, just watching any game that I can before tomorrow's games kick off, man, because we got a huge slate of games on Saturday. Excited to just be able to talk college football and NFL. So yeah, man, just want to go ahead and transition into things, man, because like I said, man, the college football season is underway. Week zero was this past week, and now we're heading into week one. So what I wanted to do really quickly is just kind of do a preview of the top 25, and in particular, just the top 10. Don't want to run through all 25 teams, but I do want to focus on, you know, the current top 10 and where we're standing right there, and give you my thoughts on that, the current rankings, and then also kind of get into, you know, a recap, because we had a game that happened on Thursday night between Florida and Utah. And then from there, just go ahead and continue to transition into some must-watch games. So, again, like I said, top 25, specifically the top 10. You got Georgia, of course, coming in at number one. Michigan is number two. Ohio State is three. Bama is four. LSU's five. USC is six. Penn State seven. Florida State eight. Clemson nine. And Washington 10. So those are the top 10 currently right now. Looking at the top 10, I don't see any real huge issue with the top five, other than I was kind of surprised that they put Michigan at two. I know that they, I can understand why they did that, because they beaten Ohio State 2 years in a row, looking to do it for a third year. It was just shocking to me that they actually did it. I'm so used to them showing favoritism to Ohio State over Michigan. So, you know, just to see that they actually put Michigan ahead, it's like, oh, wow, I can't believe they actually really did that. But, yeah, man, Michigan has a great shot to do it again, to beat them, beat Ohio State for a third time, as they're going on the road to Ann Arbor this year. So, you know, they have Blake Corum and McCarthy coming back. So we'll see how that shakes up. But we got a long way to go before we get to that game. Other than that, man, the real big shocker to me, honestly, was Penn State at seven. I don't know what Penn State did to be put at number seven. I'm still confused about that. I don't know what people are seeing. What did they do to be ranked that high? I didn't see anything that wowed me when it comes to their recruiting, when it comes to any players returning that would have led me to believe that they would be number seven. But it is what it is. This is the preseason poll for a reason. It's not the actual rankings. So, I mean, we'll see how it shakes up. But I disagree with Penn State being at number seven, above Florida State, especially like that. That's kind of weird to me. But like I said, we'll see what happens. Let's dive into our game that we had Thursday night between Florida and number 14 Utah. So Florida goes on the road, phase number 14, Utah. Utah dominated Florida. I know the score was 24-11. I know Florida had like a little late kind of surge trying to come back at the end, but Utah dominated this game from start to finish. Bryson Barnes, 12 of 18, 159 yards, one touchdown pass, and five yard rushing touchdown to add on to that. And First play of the game for Utah, they actually dropped back on a play action pass. Barnes hits Money Parks on a 70-yard touchdown pass on Utah's first play. I mean, completely looked off the safety, perfectly thrown ball, perfectly executed play by Utah. And that really set the tone from, you know, the beginning. After they had just forced Florida to go three and out, and being able to go out there and do that on their first play was huge for them. And like I said, that set the tone, and it really helped them, you know, really bring that energy from start to finish. And to add on to that, man, you had Nate Johnson. He had a 27-yard rushing touchdown. That's their second quarterback behind Bryson Barnes, excuse me. And this is all with Cam Rising, their starting quarterback, who's out after suffering an injury in the Rose Bowl last year. So Bryson Barnes was technically the backup quarterback, and Nate Johnson is their third string quarterback. So hats off to those guys for the exceptional job that they did when their name was called to come into the game. Now, Florida, on the other hand, 1 of 13 on third down, 2 of 5 on fourth down, and they were only held to 13 yards rushing, and they had 333 yards passing. This just tells me, I mean, look, Utah, we've known Utah's had a really great defense. We saw what they were able to do against Caleb Williams and USC last year, being able to stop them and ruin their college football playoff and national title hopes. By being able to shut them, well, not shut them down, but being able to contain Caleb Williams in the Pac-12 championship. So, you know, I think that, you know, Utah's defense did an excellent job of pressuring Graham Mertz all night, making him uncomfortable in the pocket, and they forced the interception in Florida's red zone. They forced an interception in the game. And ended up turning the interception into 7 points. So, looking at Florida, they might as well just ship Florida to the ACC at this point. I mean, what an embarrassment to the SEC. What a huge embarrassment to the SEC. And especially, I don't know if y'all saw this, but one of the Florida players got on Instagram before the game and made a post about how little Utah Stadium was, right? And after the game, Utah posts on their it was the Utes Athletic Twitter page, and they posted something petty right back at them, which I thought was very, very hilarious, and especially because the player that posted it didn't even make one play in the game. He didn't make one play. He didn't even appear on the stat sheet. So I find that hilarious. Like, why are you talking noise before the game like that, and then you go out there and get smacked? Like, come on, bro. Like, this is the perfect time. Look, we got realignments going on. Might as well just go ahead and ship Florida to the ACC at this point. I mean, what a better time than now. I mean, the ACC, they just accepted three other schools, Stanford, California, and SMU. Florida, look, I'm pretty sure they got room for y'all. We could package them up and send Vanderbilt over there too. Make them a 20-team league at this point. I mean, what an embarrassment to the SEC. But hey, maybe they should have watched the Swamp Kings documentary before the game or something. I don't know. I don't know. Bill Napier, I don't see him making it throughout this whole season. I see them parting ways with him before the year's over with. I don't know what they got going on down there in Gainesville, but hey, it is what it is. let's move on, man. Let's move on. Let's talk about some must-watch games in week one and week two that I feel are must-watch for the college football, start of the college football season. So, tomorrow, we do have, I'll give you guys about four games that I think that I circled on my calendar, man. And one of them, Colorado at number 17, TCU. So, reason being, man, I know TCU is favored by 20.5 at this in this game. But I circled this because it's Deion Sanders' first game. It's Colorado's head coach. Going on the road, huge matchup for them, huge test, especially a TCU team. They just made a run like they did last year and were able to reach the Big 12 championship game. So just interested to see how Colorado comes out and if, you know, they're going to, you know, establish that identity and set that tone for themselves. So definitely excited to see what happens there. The second one is number 21, UNC at South Carolina. Now, North Carolina is a 2.5-point favorite in this one. They have Heisman candidate quarterback Drake May. He's coming in. This is an early road test for him. Then you got Spencer Rattler coming back in his second year in the offense at South Carolina. So we saw what he was able to do last year after he was able to get comfortable. And just interested to see kind of what happens this year and how he's going to take that next leap as this quarterback, as the quarterback one of this offense. So definitely got my eyes on that game. And that game is actually happening tomorrow night. So definitely tune into that if you don't have anything to do. Next, man, we got number 5 LSU at number 8 Florida State. This one's actually going to be in Orlando. LSU is a 2-point favorite in this one. This is a rematch from last year's showdown. If you guys don't recall, or if you didn't get an opportunity to watch it, LSU lost to Florida State 24-23. So this is after LSU had scored late in the game, and instead of kicking a field goal to tie it up, decided to go for the 2-point conversion, and they failed to get it. So that's how Florida State ended up winning that game. But it was a great game, back and forth, man. Jaden Daniels and Jordan Travis going back and forth, man. They're going to be battling it out again. Florida State, they actually lead this series right now 8-2, and that includes 5 consecutive wins. So will LSU be able to snap that streak on Sunday night? And last but not least, man, I got number 11 Texas going on the road to face number 4 Alabama. Alabama is a 7-point favorite in this game. This is a rematch from last year's game, which was really tight. Alabama was able to edge out a victory 20-19 in this one. They're calling it the All-State Crossbar Classic. This is a huge test early for Alabama and their offense, and also their defense. You know, we got it's a lot of young talent on the team. Got a new quarterback that's stepping in. Jalen Milroe is gonna, well, or whoever, we don't know exactly who's gonna be starting by week 2 against Texas, but that'll get sorted out by tomorrow once the quarterbacks go in, and if there's anybody that separates themselves, we'll see. But a lot of Texas fans are talking trash about this game coming up against Texas this year, saying that, hey, if Quinn Ewers didn't get hurt, Alabama was going to lose last year, and all these excuses, all of that noise that we're not even worried about, because we could go ahead and settle it next week. You know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely excited to tune into this game. It's going to be a huge one, and one of many, I believe, Texas and Alabama matchups that'll happen over the course of these, you know, next few years, especially when we go ahead and expand the SEC next year with Texas and Oklahoma coming over. So definitely excited to see this game. And let's go ahead and move on, man, and let's shift some gears here and talk about the NFL. So we had a trade that happened last week that I wanted to touch on. That was actually a pretty surprising trade, where the 49ers sent Trey Lance to the Dallas Cowboys for a 2024 fourth round pick. Now, the 49ers drafted Trey Lance, if we all remember, number 3 overall in the 2021 draft. He did end up starting 4 games during those first 2 years, only 4 games, and he did have like up and down results. So there were mixed reviews about him. He made some good plays, he made some not so good plays, but more bad than good. So people were really questioning, could he really be the guy? Did the 49ers make a mistake? Obviously, you know, Justin Fields being a guy that they passed on in the draft, so Trevor Lawrence being another guy. Trevor Lawrence went ahead of him. But yeah, I mean, They went 2-2. Lance completed only 55% of those passes out of those four games that he started. He had 5 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. And last year, he only started 2 games before he suffered a big injury and was forced out. But in came Brock Purdy, who stepped in, completely lit it up, stole the quarterback one spot, man. And, you know, they didn't look back from there. I mean, Brock Purdy came right in, and it was as if he knew the offense back and forth, up and down. I mean, at first, you kind of look at it and you're like, Brock Purdy, I mean, we remember him at Iowa State. Could he really come in and get the job done? And he helped lead this team to the NFC Championship game. Unfortunately, got hurt against Philadelphia on the first drive of the game, or second drive of the game. But, you know, the body of work that he had leading up to that and to be able to get them to that point was pretty amazing to see. So, you know, they just decided to roll with Purdy, and that's where they are. And it's pretty much admitting that they made a mistake. You know, they're admitting that they made a mistake with drafting Trey. And I'm not even going to go as far as to say, I don't even want to say it's a mistake. I just don't think that Trey was the fit for the type of offense that they run. He just didn't fit. He was just not the fit for it. But it's just surprising that they ended up passing on Justin Fields for Trey Lance. That is kind of what is the most shocking, because you could have, I mean, I'm glad about it, obviously, because Fields is in Chicago, but you could only imagine what Fields could have done in that type of offense with Kyle Shanahan. So I don't know, man. definitely interesting. Now, on the flip side, Trey is only 23 years old. He now gets to go to Dallas, where he'll have an opportunity to be the backup to Dak Prescott if he ends up elevating on the depth chart to that number 2 spot. And it's a situation where a lot of people right now, currently, they have questions about Dak Prescott heading into the season. You know, is he the guy? Can he get the job done? I mean, that's always a question. Every day you turn on one of these sports talk shows and they're talking about, is Dak Prescott the guy? Can he get over the hump? Can he lead them to the Super Bowl? He is the topic of discussion 80% of the day, every single day on every sports talk show. So, you know, I personally think that, you know, looking at how he was looking in training camp, which was not that good, throwing all those interceptions. I mean, we saw clips of him throwing passes that just had no chance of being caught, just struggled, did not look good at all. And I made a joke about this. I said, look, Jerry Jones, he saw Dak Prescott throw 30 picks in practice. And he said, look, you know what? Enough is enough. Let me go get somebody. Let me go put some pressure behind him, man. Like, I can't sit here and watch this anymore. So, you know, can Dak Prescott get the job done? I think that this is his last chance, if you ask me. I mean, he it's not like he's not surrounded with the running game or the receivers. He has weapons. He has a defense that can get him the ball. I mean, if he can't win with this, they got to move on. They got to get somebody in there. Maybe a young Trey Lance that they can, you know, build around and mold, who can, you know, he's a guy that can run. He's a dual threat quarterback as well. He just needs the opportunity to be able to, you know, show, you know, that he's improved as a passer. So, hey, you never know what can happen at all. So, like I said, he may have an opportunity to come in and shine if Dak struggles early in the year, if he's consistently struggling, if Dallas is not winning games. You know, maybe we see a situation where they make a change to Trey Lance by, you know, a certain week, you know. So we will definitely be watching this closely. But I think that it's interesting because Jerry Jones didn't even consult with anybody before making this decision, really. I mean, I'm pretty sure he talked to people that were close to him, but he didn't talk to the head coach. He didn't talk to Dak Prescott before making this trade. He did it. He saw an opportunity and he went for it. So that alone shows you that, you know, this is a lot more serious situation than some people may think it is, you know. So definitely pay attention to this. Now, with that trade, the 49ers, they opened up $940,000 in 2023 cap space, and then also $5.3 million in 2024 cap space. The Cowboys will take on all of Trey Lance's fully guaranteed contract. So let's keep it in the NFL right now, man, because I want to talk about what's the latest news that's been going on in the NFL running back market, man. A lot of stuff going on, man. I know, you know, we were previously talking about, you know, the state of the NFL running back market and how, you know, a lot of running backs are, you know, upset about their value and they feel like they should be paid more. And right now, the way that the market is, general managers are not willing to pay quarterbacks these huge dollars and sign them to these huge contracts. Because it's more so running back by committee right now. It's not back in the days where you had a Walter Payton or a Barry Sanders, where you're just giving them the ball almost every down backs. You know, you're just feeding them the ball over and over and over again. Now we're transitioning to you have to at least have 2 to 3 running backs on your roster. Like I said, it's running back by committee. And that's the way that the league is transitioned. And you always will, with that, guarantee that you have fresh legs throughout a game and being able to sustain a effective running attack. So, you know, we had the star running backs meeting on a Zoom call and kind of just, you know, hashing that out and getting their thoughts and their feelings out there about the state of the running back market. And, you know, we had a lot of controversy and stuff going on in the offseason with Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Taylor. So latest news with these guys, and even Dalvin Cook as well. Latest news with these guys. So Saquon Barkley and the Giants agreed on a 1-year, $11 million contract. So this is actually going to include a $2 million signing bonus. So both of these sides were able to finally agree to terms. Many people, you know, it looked like Saquon Barkley might sit out the entire season, but I was one of the people that were saying that, look, Saquon can't afford to sit out an entire season. You look at what happened with Le'Veon Bell when he decided, you know, to sit out for a whole year because he didn't get paid by Pittsburgh. He ends up leaving and did not come back as the same running back at all. He was never the same when he came back. Saquon Barkley does not have that luxury. He does not have the free will to be able, I mean, he has the free will to do it, but he couldn't afford, is I should say, to sit out a whole year and think that he's going to come back the same person. Like, it's just not going to happen. And especially with his injury history, he has to actually go out there and prove that he can consistently stay healthy. He stayed healthy last year, looked good even in the playoff game. They got a huge win on the road against Minnesota. But you know, coming back this year, they have to know that he's going to be able to stay healthy, and then the contract is going to come. So that's more so, I think, what it's about in his situation. Not the fact that they don't want to pay him the money, but why pull the trigger on a running back when you don't know if the health is going to stay consistent. So I do believe that if Saquon goes out and is able to show that he can, you know, stay healthy and be himself, I do believe that he will get that contract extension. Next up, man, Josh Jacobs and the Raiders, they agreed on a 1-year deal worth up to $12 million with a per game bonus. So this is saying that he has certain, yards that he has to hit per game and where he can get, you know, incentives and that contract can be up to $12 million, which is pretty exciting. You saw Josh Jacobs. He actually is going back to his number 8 that he wore at Alabama. So, you know, excited to see him be able to come back and those two sides be able to work it out. And he was another guy that I felt like, you know, look, you can't sit out a whole year. You just can't. You got to play. And at the end of the day, if it means that you're playing to build your resume and your tape up to audition for another team, you got to go out there and do that. You know, go out there and handle business. You don't have to stay. You can ultimately end up being, you know, traded elsewhere, or, you know, you'll see what happens. And or, you know, things will go in your favor and you go ahead and get that deal. I know Josh Jacobs had a few injuries here and there in his career so far. But I do think ultimately that he will get paid. They just have to, you know, like I said, ride this season out and see what happens. Dalvin Cook actually signed a 1-year deal with the Jets. This is worth up to $8.6 million, including incentives. Dalvin Cook, a guy that was released by the Minnesota Vikings, which is a shocking release. But we all know, you know, like I said, Dalvin Cook is getting up there in age. He's been in the league for quite some time right now. So, you know, the Vikings decided that they wanted to move on from him, continue to bring in some fresh legs for their offense. So, you know, he goes and he signs with the Jets. So there's a lot of hype around New York and, you know, what the Jets are doing. And, you know, he's joining Aaron Rodgers and some other stars that are teaming up over there. I mean, they got a pretty good looking offense with Wilson, Lazar, Randall Cobb. They got Breece, now Dalvin. I mean, those guys are pretty loaded, and on the defensive side too. So, you know, we'll see if they are able to live up to the hype. Biggest question for me is their offensive line and if they'll be able to protect Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, knowing Aaron Rodgers and the way that he played while he's at Green Bay, a lot of quick throws, getting the ball out fast, something that he specializes in. So I would assume and believe that their offense will be centered around a lot of quick throws and just putting the ball in the playmaker's hands and in space and letting them go make a play. So similar to what we saw in the preseason game against the Giants. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, Dalvin Cook does have a new home. And I think that he stretched this thing out. I knew when he started to talk to the Jets, I knew that he was not leaving without signing with them. I mean, that was a done deal. Once he went and visited with them, he wasn't going anywhere else. I know Miami, you know, and some other teams were in conversation, but once he visited the Jets, I knew it was over from there. No way he was going to pass up on that opportunity. And then last but not least, man, Jonathan Taylor was not able to find a trade partner after the Colts did give him the green light to go find one before Tuesday's deadline. Again, did not find a trade partner. He will actually stay with the Colts, and he's going to start the season on the PUP list, which is the physically unable to perform list, which means that he will miss the first four games of this season. Don't know, you know, still with this situation, if Jonathan Taylor will end up even playing for the Colts this year. But again, I think this is another situation where you can't afford to miss an entire season. Go out there and play and build your resume for the next team, or ball out and, you know, reach a deal by the end of the year, you know. So that is the latest news for the running back market, man. And like I said, man, a lot of stuff went on since we were last on air with each other. But glad that things are shaking up and that we're almost, you know, at the season, man. So we'll see how things all come together. And let's shift back to college football, man, because I want to touch on one thing, and then I'm going to give you guys my picks for this Saturday and our game on Sunday night. So just wanted to quickly do that before we wrap up here. Wanted to talk about really quickly the quarterback situation in Alabama, because there's a lot of conversation that keeps going on about Alabama having a quarterback issue. And you guys know, you know, I'm an Alabama alumni, and, you know, Roll Tide. I'm not going to, you know, take up a whole lot of time in talking about this. I just wanted to say that I find it very odd and hilarious that all this talk about, you know, all summer about us having this quarterback problem and Saban didn't know, you know, he's pretty much confused and not knowing what he's going to have in any of the quarterbacks that he had on his roster. So he had to go out there and, you know, bring in Tyler Buchner from Notre Dame because Milroe and Ty Simpson weren't showing that they could be able to start as quarterbacks in Alabama's offense. And, you know, there's been a changing of the guard in college football, and Saban is just, you know, behind, and Kirby Smart and Georgia are just moving ahead of them. All this noise, all this talk, right? But then they get on College Game Day this last Saturday, and everybody picks Alabama to win the SEC. Everybody picks Alabama to win the national championship, except one person. I found that really funny, because why is it that we had all this noise and all this talk the whole summer, and now everybody is suddenly changed their mind? Like, what changed? Why are people backpedaling? Like, don't backpedal. Keep the same energy. You know what I mean? Like, if you feel what you felt in the summer, stick with that. Don't backpedal now, because the season's getting ready to start. Like, do I think Alabama has a quarterback issue? No, I do not think Alabama has a quarterback issue. If people were paying attention and really realizing what's going on here, Tommy Reese, young offensive coordinator that is coming over from Notre Dame, has an ability to call really good plays. He has a balanced offense, and his offense is actually going to be playing to, you know, our strengths. We're actually going to be running the ball a lot more this year in Alabama, and I think that he's going to scheme up some really good plays that are going to help, you know, this offense take it to the next level, especially with the running backs that they have, with Jace coming back, Roydell Williams, you got Justice Hayes, you got Jam. So I'm excited to see what they do on the offensive side of the ball. You got an offensive line that's huge, physical, and everybody on that team is feeling disrespected. I know the defense is young after losing some players to the draft, but this defense, this team is focused. They're ready to go out there and prove everybody wrong, because there's been a lot of talk about Alabama all year offseason, when the last time I checked, Ohio State had a quarterback thing going. They had to decide between who their quarterback was going to be. Georgia had to decide who their quarterback was going to be. They just recently, you know, went with Carson Beck. So everybody was acting like Bama was the only team that had a question of who was going to be their quarterback. Everybody's focused on what Alabama had going on. Like, two other teams in the top five didn't. And I just found that funny to me. But do I think Alabama has a quarterback issue? No, I don't. I think that, and recently, released a report that Jalen Milroe is actually going to start for Alabama tomorrow against Middle Tennessee. And I do hope that, you know, Milroe goes in there and puts a stamp on this thing and separates himself and is able to be QB1 week two against Texas, man. I think that, you know, out of all the quarterbacks, I think that Milroe, he could be very special for this offense. And as long as he's shown that he's grown as a passer, because we know what he can do with his legs. We know that he has an ability to make plays with his feet. And he does have a really strong arm. What it really comes down to is his accuracy and his decision making. If he can show that he's improved as a passer there, and that he can protect the football, I think that Alabama is going to be just fine this year, and they're going to be right back in that conversation, like they are every single year. So, like I said, man, we'll see what happens, but I do expect Alabama to be right in the conversation and silence all of this hate and this doubt. All right, man. So let me go ahead and give y'all my picks for these games before I wrap it up, man, and get out of here. So I picked six games. I know it's not a lot of exciting games going on tomorrow. It's just week one, y'all. Don't worry, we'll get some huge showdowns that we'll be able to dive into, you know, the second week and beyond. So, you know, just pick some games I thought that, you know, I would pick, make some quick picks. And, hey, let's see if I can go 6-6. So we got Virginia at number 12, Tennessee. Tennessee's actually a 27.5 point favorite in this matchup. They got Joe Milton coming in as the new starting quarterback for this year. So we'll see if he can, you know, pick up where they left off last year. You know, Josh Heupel and that offense who were able to, you know, put up a lot of points, you know, were pretty much unstoppable for a long time throughout the season. So we'll see what they're able to do. I'm going to pick Tennessee to win this one. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, we got Colorado at number 17, TCU. TCU is actually a 20.5 point favorite in this game. Again, this is Deion's first game as Colorado's head coach. I know they got Travis Hunter who came over. He's expected to play both sides of the ball, which is pretty hard thing to do. There are some special players out there that can do it. How long can he do it? How long can they be effective doing that? We will see. And, of course, we have Shador Sanders, his son, coming in as QB1. He had a lot of people transfer out of Colorado, brought some Louis, some luggage to Boulder. So we'll see how that all comes together on the road against TCU. But I don't know what they're going to look like. So I'm rocking with TCU to win this one. But let's see if Colorado can set a tone and build somewhat of an identity in his first game. And maybe we'll get a glimpse of the type of team that we're going to get all year. So we'll see. But I'm going to rock with TCU to win this one. Team that's fresh off of an appearance in the Big 12 championship game last year. Number 21, UNC at South Carolina. North Carolina is a 2.5 point favorite in this one. However, I'm going to go with South Carolina. I think that with Spencer Rattler, his second year in the offense, a lot of people aren't really talking about him right now. A lot of the focus is on Drake May because he's a Heisman, one of the Heisman favorites this year coming back. But I think that, again, with Spencer Rattler coming in his second year in this offense, I think that he's going to be able to, you know, be effective. This is a home game, too, so I think the crowd will be rocking. And let's not forget, they did beat number 5 Tennessee and number 8 Clemson last year, back-to-back. And this is back-to-back weeks. Put up, like, 63 points or whatever on Tennessee. So this is an offense that's capable of putting up some points. So we'll see what happens, but I'm rocking with South Carolina in this one. Obviously going with UGA over UT Martin and Alabama over Middle Tennessee State. So those are two obvious picks, but, you know, got to go ahead and throw those in there. And last but not least, man, number 5 LSU versus number 8 Florida. LSU is a 2-point favorite in this game. This is the game of the weekend. If you ask me, the over-under is 56.5 points. The game is actually going to be Sunday night in Orlando. So it won't be in Tallahassee, but it will still be somewhat of a home game for Florida. But LSU fans travel pretty well, too, so we'll see what that looks like in the crowd. Again, they had their exciting game last year. Florida State edged that win out 24-23. I expect a shootout this year. I'm going to go with LSU. I don't like LSU. I'm not an LSU fan, but, you know, got to rock with the SEC over the ACC any chance I get. So I'm going to go with LSU in this matchup, man, but I would not be surprised if Florida State is able to win this game. They're coming back again. Jaden Daniels and Jordan Travis, man, two guys that are young, that are really talented dual threat guys. I'm excited to watch them battle it out and go head to head. Florida State's offense, I mean, they have some pretty big wide receivers coming that are coming in, and you know, LSU, they always have, you know, pretty solid wide receivers on their offense. So we'll see what happens, man. But I'm gonna go with LSU with the edge in this game. But again, I would not be shocked and surprised that Florida State is able to knock them off. And these are two teams that are, you know, in some people's eyes, favorites to get to the college football playoff this year. So this game is very important when it comes to college football playoff hopes. Not saying that it'd be the end all be all, but you know, this is a very important game when it comes to their chances to get in the playoff. Because if you lose this game, you have to go perfect the rest of the way, because we all see that the committee is not putting any two lost teams in the college football playoff unless there were multiple two lost teams that they had to pick from. So again, excited to see what happens, man. But hey, look, that's all I have for y'all. Again, I appreciate everybody giving me some of your time. As y'all can tell, man, I'm excited about this season. I'm just ready to be locked in all day Saturday, just watching football. And then after this week, man, locked in all day Saturday and Sunday, man, for college and NFL. And look, hey, y'all, I'm actually going out of town next week because I'll be going to Chicago for the Bears and Packers game. I'm excited about that. Go Bears, man. I'm tired of everybody talking about the Packers and throwing shade on Justin Fields. So, look, hope we go in there and handle business. But, look, I'll be back next week, man. Give y'all a show early, a little earlier in the week, since I'll be out of town, because I want to talk NFL and I want to make my picks for week one there. So, again, man, excited. Thank y'all for jumping in, man. Y'all be blessed. Enjoy your weekend. And happy Labor Day to everybody. I hope y'all go out there and celebrate. Get y'all some barbecue, enjoy family, and be safe, man. All right, be blessed. I'm out.